I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Moshe Rosenzweig. Welcome, Moshe.
Hello, good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, depends when you're listening to it.
Exactly. Our listeners won't be surprised after they've listened to you talking for a little while to know that you also have an OAM for all the wonderful work you've done in the public sphere, particularly in relation to photography. But I will introduce you in a formal way so our listeners know exactly who you are. Moshe is the founder, creative director, and lead curator of Head On Photo Festival, which many, many people regard as Australia's premier photography event. It showcases the work of international and local photographers of all genres and career stages, kids to the seasoned professionals. Moshe's career spans over 40 years as a photojournalist, commercial photographer, educator, and an award-winning television producer and director at SBS Television. His work's been screened, published, and exhibited in Australia and overseas. As I say, listeners, you can understand why somewhere along the line, Moshe was awarded the OAM. Well, Moshe, what's happened is that the Head On Photo Festival has left Sydney, I think, for the first time since about 2004, and it's arrived in Perth. How did that all happen?
Well, we actually did leave Sydney before that, but not to the same extent as it is this time. So we would take one exhibition, one or two exhibitions to different places. So we've been to different parts of Australia, Melbourne, Canberra, Cairns, but also overseas. We went to New York regularly, exhibiting in China, in a big festival there, in Switzerland, different places. But as I said, it was only one exhibition or thereabouts, one, two exhibitions at the time. And with Perth, we basically, I won't say replicate, but it's another edition of the festival as a whole. So we've got a number of exhibitions, we've got some talks and other activities, workshops, all part of this month-long activity. And it happened, maybe I should tell my personal story. My partner is from Perth originally, a couple of years ago.
That I didn't know. That's interesting.
Yes. So she's been out of Perth for many, many years. But 3 years ago or so, we had terrible summer in Sydney over, I think, 2 or 3 years running. So eventually she said to me, okay, this year we're going to have a proper break, blue sky, no rain, because here was just, we were drenched for months. And that was right after COVID as well. It was very well needed break. Anyway, we got to Perth after years. I would go to Perth occasionally, but I tried to avoid it because there was not much to do. And also there was the in-laws that I had to deal with. So, which I love them dearly, the whole family, but there's a limit. Anyway, we went there. We went there and I totally fell in love with the place. And on top of that, quite a number of people from Perth, photographers, kept, you know, hustling us and said, when are you coming to Perth? When are you coming to Perth? So it all kind of happened at the same time and people introduced us to a whole lot of people. And we got a small grant from the city of Perth, which helped us to bring the exhibition over with a lot of help from a lot of people in the community, which it wouldn't have happened otherwise. And I think something that I keep telling people in Perth, it's an amazing place and with amazing people. It's a big city in a way that operates like a village. So everyone knows each other, everyone is supportive of each other, everyone is enthusiastic about, you know, different things, like different cultural activities. It's been absolutely amazing.
So we had the Head On Photo Festival Perth launch in Northbridge, adjacent to the CBD of Perth, last Saturday night. I think it had been 40 degrees during the day. A magnificent evening, a lovely band of almost kids, I think called Gap Year, who played. You came on and spoke beautifully. And some awards were made, and we'll perhaps just come back to that. But tell the listeners who haven't caught up with all of this, and they will as well through the website link that I'll provide here, there are a number of exhibitions across the city. You've got things happening up in Kings Park, you've got them happening in the Bell Tower, you've got people talking, as you said, workshops, but just photographs being exhibited. Are they exhibited according to genre? How does that work?
Well, the we've got I think if I remember well 16 exhibitions and some projections. So the projections are in the same place in the Northridge Piazza and also in Forest Place. There are two big screens, so it goes there on a regular basis. And in Egan Square there's a shorter one on the tower there, the digital tower, and have a lot of exhibitions that spread around. The selection was pretty curated from exhibitions that we had in Sydney in the last 2, 3 years. We do in Sydney, we do about 40 exhibition every year, and we chose the what we thought was the best suitable material. In conversation also with the city of Perth, so they are all very family friendly, so there's no controversial stuff. Not material is would be accepted by anyone. There's no issue. Not to say that they are boring, but they are just beautiful exhibitions that are suitable for everyone in the member of the family in those places. And the varieties from people. Young people dressed as superheroes posing with their parents, for example. That's the Egan Square, which is, very interesting cultural phenomenon, which is becoming more and more popular now around the world. So this is one. There's another one. This photographer is Niccolo Rastrelli, is Italian. There's another one by Andres Gallego, is a Spanish photographer that does take pictures that look like Hopper's paintings, and the unique thing about it is that he's also painting the outside, like literally use paintings of the outside of the room to appear in the picture. So there's no photoshopping. It's just the whole thing is created by him. So these are two overseas, but we also have one of Perth local, Brett Kane Gibson, and there's a series of beautiful portraits that he took on the street in Perth. And another Australian, Judith Nangala Crispin, who's got an amazing series of images that are done with no camera, actually. But it's when you look at it, you don't realize this. You need to actually read the description, and it's all about giving a burial ceremony, if you want, to roadkill. I won't expand more. People need to go and see it. It's amazing, amazing, visually amazing.
Which brings to the question, I mean, me, just an ordinary person in the community who just absolutely loves photography, used to go into the downstairs permanent photographic, the exhibition in the Australian National Gallery in Canberra when I was living there in the early 80s. No longer there. We'll come back to that. Don't need to be convinced about photographs, but what is it about photographs, Moshe, that gets people excited? And then you're hoping, of course, to excite a lot more people through seeing what's on display. But what is it? How did you get into this?
Look, I don't know how I got into it. I remember myself as a child being fascinated by light. And I got hold of a camera, my grandfather's camera, and used it to experiment. I did all sorts of things. I remember doing a, I took a picture of a turtle flying in midair, which I did with a fishing line. So I experimented, I did all sorts of things. I dismantled the camera at one stage, and it was in a box, like in a shoebox, for many years after that, because it was never been put together after. But anyway, my interest was started as a very at a very young age, and I did the usual routine at the time. I had a little dark room at home. I was the designated photographer at school. It was just I was totally immersed in it, and it was the normal progression. I did that, and then I studied photography. I worked as a photojournalist. That was that was the path. But as you said before, you sort of suggested, photography is not what it used to be. It's very different now.
So let's explore that for a moment and relate it to what people will see when they come into the Perth Photo Festival of Head On. Digital photography's arrived. You don't have to walk around with your Leica or your Nikon and a bag with a number of lenses in it. That's a physical manifestation, but how else has it changed?
Look, the main thing that changed photography is really not so much, maybe digital is part of it as well, but the fact that people can exhibit the work quite easily online, I think that was the biggest change. So we are surrounded by literally billions of images, and we consume images on a daily basis. For those who are not familiar, Marshall McLuhan, definitely worth mentioning here. He talks about media, the two kinds of media, the one that is based on text, which is very linear, and the one that is based on imagery. And we are into this now, into this time that we're dealing, sorry, we're dealing with images, so many images, but the issue is that most people are not visually literate. So they see an image and they don't realize how it's constructed and how they are being manipulated to see certain things within an image. So when the when I started the festival, that was part of it. Was one was to give visibility to photographers so they can show the work. That was pre-social media and even pre-digital. And the other one is to promote certain issues through the photography, which we do extensively. And part of it is, if you want, educating people to the power of the image and how to read the images. That it's not just, it's not what you see is not exactly what you get. It's a lot more complex. So that's part of the whole idea of it.
Moshe, is there a danger? We hear the expression deep fake a lot these days, AI's everywhere, that photography as we knew it, as we know it, is plummeting to earth at a million miles an hour.
Yes, to some extent. There's a lot of imagery now that is generated by AI, which is really generated based on all the images. So
The irony.
it's not unique in a way, which I must say is very handy for certain things, like you need to do product photography or whatever. It's easy to do and it's meaningless anyway. It's a product at the end of the day. The picture is a product as well. So that doesn't really matter. The issue, the alarming part of the AI is creating imagery that people believe are true representation of reality when really they are just manufactured by a machine, and manipulating people's perception of reality and what they believe in and what is actually happening in front of them. So this is the issue with AI. But you know, we've been manipulated by images well before AI. So in a way, it's just a lot more available now for everyone, as opposed to before you had to be pretty skillful to do certain things in the dark room, or just skillful as a photographer to show certain things in the frame and avoid other things. But it comes back again to visual literacy. If people understand what they are looking at, then it's a lot more difficult to manipulate them, their perception of, and change their mind to support or oppose certain things, which is the case at the moment. And I think that's partly our agenda as a festival, is to teach people how to look at pictures. You know, it sounds pretty simple. Yeah, a picture, yeah, it's in front of you. But when you start analyzing, you know, what's in the front, what's in front of you, what's included, what's excluded, which part is big, which part is small, which part is in the light, which part is in the background, in the dark, you know, how items are juxtaposed in within the frame, which create a different meaning. All of these things are part of the picture. Most people are not aware of it. They look at it and they just get an idea, and it's very quick.
Moshe, listen to what you've been saying about AI and reading images. There was a famous book written about reading television. You have to come to a different place. Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. You have to think differently. And it all makes me think that our cultural institutions like museums and art galleries have a special responsibility here in respect of the things you've been talking about and in respect of images. Have they embraced photography to the extent that they should have? I referred to my days in the early 80s going to the Australian National Gallery and to their photographic exhibition. I'm not sure it's not there anymore.
Well, unfortunately, it's not. It used to, the heyday of photography was probably in the 70s and 80s, especially in Australia. And I think it has been in decline ever since. In Sydney, I don't know the scene in Perth very well, but in Sydney at least, we had quite a number of galleries. One of them was dedicated to photography, totally closed, that Stills Gallery. We have less venues to exhibit. The Art Gallery of New South Wales used to have an area that was dedicated to photography, doesn't exist anymore. Used to be exhibition on a semi-regular basis, maybe once a year, once every 2 years. I don't think we've got that many. So overall, I think there's less photography available in traditional spaces, but there's a lot of it obviously online. But the difference is that, in a way, when you go to a gallery, it's dedicated, it gives, if you want, the credibility to the work, as opposed to if you flick on it on social media, you go through hundreds of images in literally in minutes. So that's probably the difference. But I wish there was more. I wish the funding bodies treated photography with, I won't say respect, but accepted that it's an art form in its own right and not part of visual arts.
Actually, overnight here in Australia, we've learnt that the Washington Post has been further gutted. The internet has helped to destroy newspapers around the world, affecting them seriously here in Australia. One of my most treasured photographic books, and I've got a few, is International Photography 1920 to 1980, published by the Australian National Gallery. What's been the fate of photographic book publishing, monographs, that sort of thing, have they all been in decline as well?
In a funny way, not actually. There's a plethora of publishers, photography book publishers, thanks to print on demand. So there are a lot of books. We had this last year, 2025, we had a book fair, a little book fair within the festival. So we had about 30 odd photographers and small publishers who showed the work in a book form. It's quite popular because you can have a whole exhibition basically at home in a book in an affordable way. I find it a little bit exhausting, I must say. I go to Arles regularly every year. I do portfolio reviews over there. And they've got a big section about a book collection that they give a prize. So there's hundreds of books, literally 200 or 300 books on the table. And you look at five, six books and you can't take any more because each book has potentially could have 100 images or thereabout. It's a lot of material to assimilate and it's very dense. So I've got a problem. I've got a lot of photography books, obviously, but it's a difficult area and relatively expensive for those who collect books. But no, I think books are there and will be there for a long time.
Well, so coming back to the Photo Festival Perth, there is an awards section, the Head-On Portrait Awards 2025, that are on display. Portrait, interesting subject. I suppose it's sort of matching the Archibalds.
Actually, it started as the answer to the photographic Archibald, which existed in, it started in 2003. It was very popular because photography is very popular art form. It's probably more popular than most others. Maybe cinema and music maybe are, about this, as popular as. So it started then, again, this is a little bit of a personal thing. I submitted work to that competition in 2003 and I didn't get in. And then in 2004, I submitted again. The first year I thought, okay, it's in the first time and, and then I went to the exhibition. I thought, okay, my work is just as good as any. And in 2004, I didn't get in. And I talked to other people, other photographers I knew, and they didn't get in either. So we had a get together, the refuseniks, the rejects. And I looked at the work and I thought, amazing work. Just there was so much good work there that didn't make it to the exhibition. I thought, okay, they must have had this year a lot of good work and there just wasn't enough room on the wall. So I contacted the gallery and said, look, I know there's a lot of work. Can I run Salon des Refusés if you make the contact? And they were not interested. Mind you, it was about 6 or 8 weeks before the exhibition. So there were issues of, practical issues and, privacy and all the rest. Anyway, I got together through emails and phone calls, that was pre-social media, and we got about 80 people to send us the work that was not selected. And I think there were some people who did not submit but send us work as well. We kind of said, yeah, whatever, send us material, we'll see. And we selected the 40 images out of the material that we got, about half of what we had. And we had an exhibition. The Archibald, or the photographic one, is announced on Friday lunchtime. I contacted the gallery that I worked as a producer director at SBS, and I worked with a gallery in Paddington, like the main area at the time for galleries. Again, this one is another one that in decline big time. But And the guy, Michael Nagy, said to me, I asked him if he had a space, and said, "You're very lucky. I had a cancellation." So we took that space. So the Archibald opened on Friday lunchtime. We opened Thursday the night before, and we had hundreds, literally hundreds of people. People could not get into the gallery. They were outside on the street blocking the road. And that was the beginning of the process. That was 2004. Needless to say that the photographic Archibald lasted a year, one more year after that, and disappeared after. And we became the main competition exhibition in Australia for portraiture at the time. So for quite a number of years, we used to get thousands of entries from pretty much within the third year. We already hit the thousands.
Well, Moshe, you are obviously a big time disruptor. I like the Refusenik. So that Head On Portrait Awards 2025, the latest version as of last year, but our listeners can go along in Perth and see that particular exhibition. It's one of those across the city of Perth.
This will be at the TAFE in
In North.
north.
Yes, the North Metropolitan, whatever it's called
Yes,
there,
that's
but
it.
in Northbridge. There's also this local exhibition, the WA Life Photo Award. Can you tell our local listeners a bit about that? What's the aim, purpose? Who can be in it?
Maybe before I go to this one, just very briefly about the competition that we run. So we have the portrait, but we added also landscape a few years later because there was demand for it. And then people complain and say, "Well, we don't fit into portrait or landscape. What about if we do fine artwork, for example, documentary or whatever it is?" So we have now a third stream, which is we call it exposure, and that's basically everything else that is not portrait or landscape. Between the three, we get thousands of entries. We give $80,000 pretty much every year, cash and product. So basically, since 2004, we gave over $1 million worth of cash and prizes. So that's that one, so which is running and it's open internationally, anyone can submit. One thing that is important about the selection of work, we didn't talk about it, it's all done with no names.
I wanted to ask you about that. I'm fascinated. I always love the stories about the violinist who wants to be in the symphony orchestra, and they've played for the London Symphony. They turn up somewhere in Australia, and they're sent behind a curtain, and they pass or they fail. So is it something like that, is it?
It is, and that's again from the very beginning, the very first time we did it, we selected with no names, and that became like the philosophy of the festival as well. So when we ask for submission to the festival, everything done through submissions, nothing is done through, well, I won't say nothing, there's some commissions, very rarely. Most of the stuff is through submission. And when people contact me, like big name photographers, I said to them, "Great, I'd love to have it. I love your work, but you have to put it through the process. There are eight people who are going to look at it, and if everyone agrees that this is good, and they will look at it with no name, if they think it's good, it will go in." So this is very strong part of how we do it for the awards and for the festival as a whole. Last year, for example, we had over 700 submissions from, I think, 59, if I remember well, 59 countries. So
It's amazing. It really is amazing how this has taken off. I mean, it does actually speak to the love that people have of photography. Tell me two things before we sort of draw things to a close. The first one is, how did the Head On name come to it all?
right.
And then to finish on, how would you recommend that the average person who thinks they might be interested in what's on display, having listened to you talk about it, or know they want to get along and see things, how should they go about organizing themselves? How should they curate their own tour?
I'll talk about those things. You have to remind me. But you asked me also about the WA Life, which we
Oh
didn't talk
yes.
about.
Oh, we didn't quite deal with that. You
We
must
yeah
go
we,
on
we
about
because
WA Life.
I digressed to something else. So WA Life is we invited people, mainly WA photographers, but anyone who has pictures from WA to send us material. And the idea was to see what life in WA means, which is quite different to other parts of Australia because of the geography, because of the nature, because of the people, because a whole lot of things. So we organized that. We had a very large response. We had over 400, well over 400 submissions. And again, we selected with no names. And the idea was, as I said, just to see what life is about in WA. So there are portraits. There's a beautiful portrait by a photographer who grew up on a sheep farm. And it's about shearers, and it's very strong pictures of two girls that kind of lifted the shirt to say, response to the male shearers, bugger off type message. This a beautiful picture, which is sort of a landscape-ish astrophotography. On the looking at the ocean at nighttime with the gray nomads in the foreground in their caravans. So it's all about people wandering around the huge space which is W. So this is that was the idea behind it, and we wanted to engage with the community, the local community. I didn't want to bring the smart asses from the east are coming to show them what good photography is, because there's plenty of excellent photography in Perth, and that was an opportunity also to show a lot of it in concentrated way.
I have to tell you, one of those photographs that came up at the launch at the Northbridge Piazza last Saturday night was by Lydia d'Opera. It's of people diving off the Red Pontoon at South Beach. And I have to tell you, Moshe, I just dived off it about an hour ago this morning.
Don't tell me. But I have to say that today actually is a nice warm day in Sydney and it's sunny. But yes, I can totally relate to this, and I miss it already, even though I left only yesterday.
Moshe, the two final questions: where did the head-on name come from, and how should someone approach their own curation of a tour?
Okay. So, the name came totally, I'm pretty, as you can hear from the way I talk, pretty disorganized person. And so some people when I was young thought it was a problem, but I actually see it as a strength because I collect ideas from different places and somehow put things together. So the name just I was thinking, okay, how we describe what we're doing. So it was a portrait to start with. So it was head on. So it's the head on canvas or whatever. But it was also about taking the art gallery head on and tell them, we're doing it differently. And it was also about the future. So going, head on, moving on, and we played with this after that as well. We had head off, which was the landscape, and
The French
head out,
Revolution.
and this and that. So there quite a lot of them, but no, head on. That's where it came from. Now the next bit that you asked me about curation. So are you referring curating how to wander around Perth, or generally
Yes,
how
and
to curate your work?
There's a lot on. I mean, the macro exhibition up in the Botanical Gardens in Kings Park, one of Perth's great, well, it's not a secret, but it's a great place to be. There's quite a bit of geographical diversity. How would you suggest someone work out what they want to do?
Okay, look, what I did two tours. For those who were there, you're very lucky. I think anyway. I had very good response. Those who weren't there, they can do the tour themselves. What we did, we started in the Bell Tower. There are three exhibitions there, so two on the structures and one on the waterfront, just next to the jetty there. So I would start there and then walk towards Elizabeth Quay. There are two exhibitions there as well. From there, walk on, I think it's Varick Street towards Hay Street.
Heading up the hill towards the art gallery.
And yes, and then go to the next one on Murray Street Mall, and then to Forest Place. These are all the places that are outdoors. I didn't mention it before that the curation was also in response to that. It needed to be family friendly, so there's no material there. And this has also happened thanks to COVID. I'm saying thanks to because there were a lot of other things with COVID, but this one was a good one that took exhibitions from the gallery to the outdoors and became photography. That was my idea, to make photography more accessible. So anyway, so these are the things, but there's also Palace Tower. There's a beautiful exhibition there, which is 60 photojournalists, Australian photojournalists, in the past, I don't know, 50 odd years. So there are pictures, very famous pictures. There's one of Bob Hawke when he was still a unionist. There's a very famous picture by Maeve Bishop of Vincent Lignari, the pouring of the sand, and a whole lot of others, contemporary material, same-sex families, sporting events, really big events, immigration issues. It's a beautiful selection. So that's on the way. So when you walk along Barrack Street, I think it's just off it, the entrance there. And then you've got the screens and the exhibition at TAFE and the exhibition at Camera Electronic. This is the WA Life Photo Awards. So that's sort of, and there's an explanation on each one of these exhibition, what who the photographer and what the work is about, and a map on each one of them as well, so people don't get lost and they can go from one place to the next.
I say it's fabulous. As I say, we had the launch on the last Saturday night, and then the next day, 1st of February, things got into stride, and it's on up until the 1st of March. So our listeners have got time to follow the route, all parts of it that you've just described. Thank
And
you. Thank you. Go on. And.
do the join the conversations that are happening through the month, or the workshops. There's one, the Disco Bugs, the Bridget Gower. She's from Cairns originally, and we invited her to come over to run a workshop, which is the only event that is paid. Everything else is free, totally free. And I've got a plea, a small plea here. On all of these boxes, and on our website, there's a QR code for people to have the say about this collection of work. So two things: one, we want to hear back so we can improve, and two, if we get enough good response, then we would be able to do it again in the future, because our funding is reliant on feedback, and basically to show that this is valuable to the people, as in artistic merit, but also commercial merit, i.e., the city had more people coming into the city, and basically spend money by having coffee or whatever while they were there and that sort of thing. So that's a little favor that I'm asking from everyone who's going to see these exhibitions.
Well, I'm sure they'll be so excited once they've seen things. They'll want it to come back. They'll go and buy two cups of coffee, croissants as well, and they'll send you messages and bouquets to say what a great time. It's a tremendous initiative. Thank you for bringing it to Perth, and thank you for joining me today on Fremantle Shipping News to talk all about it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I really hope people enjoy it and engage with photography full on.
And head on.
And yes.
I'll see you later, Moshe.
Thanks.